Okay, so now for the main event. We have all of our candidates here, all 11. Thank you for coming. And at this time, I want to give a big thank you to Apollo Kauai for encouraging community groups to host these forums. And thank you to KIUC for providing the sound system, and to Katie Beer for videotaping, and to KKCR Community Radio for live streaming this event. Okay, so I want to describe to you the format for this forum. I'm serving as moderator, and our KIUC candidates will be asked to respond to pre-prepared questions covering a range of topics during the first hour. And these questions have not been given in advance to them. For the second hour, I'll continue to moderate, but I'll be asking questions that are taken from the audience. And index cards have been placed on every seat, and we'd like you to write your questions clearly and legibly, and one question per card, please. And then we have several Apollo Kauai members who have volunteered to collect these cards, and we are asking that you turn them in before 3 o'clock. That way, Sid Jackson will have some time to combine the duplicates, get them sorted so we can proceed, and we do want to address as many of your questions as we can in this short time. So would the Apollo Kauai volunteers make yourself known? Raise your hand. Stand up. Okay, so we have 3 people collecting cards, and I'll take a break later on in the program to give you an opportunity to flag them down. So, again, because we have such a large turnout of candidates and very limited time, it's going to be impossible for all 11 to answer every question. So I'm going to be using the fishbowl method. And either 5 names or 6 names will be drawn to answer one question, and then the remaining names will answer the subsequent question. And candidates, please respond in the sequence as determined by the drawing. And so please keep that in mind when I call out your names. Again, for time, we'll be asking candidates to provide 1-minute responses, which I know that's pretty quick. So, and we'll also intersperse some yes, no, or support, oppose type questions where everybody can raise their hands to indicate their position. 2 of our board members for WKNA, Lori Quarton and Helena Cooney, are serving as timekeepers to ensure that candidates are given equal time for their responses. They are holding up cards that say 15 seconds remaining and time's up. So please watch for their cues so that you can conclude your response timely. And so again, we'll pick the names, read the question, and you have a minute to answer. And before we end at 4 o'clock, I'd like to allow time for each candidate to have an additional minute for a closing statement. You may use that time to clarify your answers, make a rebuttal, whatever you like. And finally, if candidates would like to engage one-on-one with the public after the forum, you're welcome to stay and mingle until about 4:30. So here we go. Any further clarification needed? Oh, boy.
Is that going to beep as well, or do we have to watch for that?
Could they please identify themselves before they answer the question, because this is on radio, not television.
Excellent suggestion. So, again, give your name before your answer. Okay. So our first question is about your experience. And it's one that everyone will answer. You'll each have 1 minute, and we'll start alphabetically with Adam. Well, I need to give you the question, which is, please tell us why you're running for the board and describe your background, your training or experience that qualifies you to serve in this role.
Aloha. Thank you for bearing with me today. I'm still struggling with a chest cold. My name is Adam Asquith. I live here in Kapaa. I've worked on Kauai all my professional life. I'm trained as a biologist and worked for state, federal governments. Currently work part-time for the University of Hawaii as an extension agent. Farm Tarot here in Kapaa and Kealia. I'm running for the board because a whole bunch of people asked me to. I can only presume because they hope I stand up for their rights as vociferously as I do my own, and the rights of other portions of our community, like the public trust resources that don't typically have a voice at our meetings. The other reason I'm running is because I've been very frustrated by the board functions and the atmosphere of silence. So if I'm elected, I'll follow in the footsteps of Jose Cabranos, who's a federal appeals court judge and a trustee, a board member of Columbia University, who has adopted a policy of dissenting from the rest of the board when issues of the institution are in danger. Okay. Thank you.
Hi there, and aloha. My name is Stu Burley, and I'm running for the board mainly because I was nominated. When I read in the paper that the three incumbents were nominated and they included my name as being nominated, I figured, okay, they must know what they're doing. They were a nominating committee, and so I am going to go along with them. What have I done? What have I done? Well, most of my career has been at PMRF. I helped open it, and of course, after 57 years and increasing those that work out there from 7 to over 1,000, I finally retired, and now I mentor robotics. All of you that have children in school, your children probably work with me in most of the schools here, and thank you very much.
Aloha, Neil Shantara. I believe our KIUC grid can be the most sustainable backup to many independent renewable energy systems. I intend to encourage people to install renewable energy systems and use KIUC rather than independent battery banks. For over 20 years, I designed and built super-insulated, solar-assisted, healthy homes. I won numerous state, regional, and even a national award for my work. I stand for a co-op that honestly informs and listens to its members. I stand for a board that is accountable to those who elected them. These goals run contrary to KIUC policy. To make change, we'll need a new majority on the board. Minority voices have no power and must not only cede to, but publicly support the majority vote. Therefore, I am changing my vote. We must not split the vote. Vote for Adam, Jimmy, and Jonathan. Thank you.
I don't know if I'm so up with this thing, you know?
Okay. Well, I have a lot of information here to post as we go along.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Daniel Erickson. I got a bachelor's degree in biology with a minor in chemistry at the University of Oregon. I then went into a pioneer program at Iowa State University called Biorenewable Resources and Technology, which I got a master's of science. And my main interest is implementing more renewable energy through KIUC. There's many places around the world that have far fewer resources and much more renewable energy implementation, and I want to figure out why that is, considering we have very expensive electricity. It seems like it would be viable to use some of these different technologies. So I wanted to put myself in as a candidate. I also work at Kauai Community College, helping develop curriculum for renewable energy technology classes and instruct them as well. So, anyway, my name is Daniel Erickson. Appreciate your vote, and aloha.
I'm David Iha. I'm I come from a family of 9 children born to immigrant parents who arrived in Kauai in the early 1900s from the island of Okinawa. After graduating from Kualoa School and Kauai High School, I'm thankful for the sacrifice that my parents made so that I could attend Wheaton College, a Christian liberal arts college in Illinois. And ever since then, my life's journey has been one of being a servant leader. I served our country, U.S. Army assignments in Fort Bliss, Texas, and Korea, and Schofield Barracks. And I served the University of Hawaii for 43 years. 27 of those years at Kauai Community College. I arrived on Kauai the same year that Andy Bushnell joined the faculty at the old campus at KCC, and we were a part of the team that built the new campus. I'm running because I have a commitment to bettering life here on Kauai. Thank you.
I'm DQ Jackson. I think everybody knows my voice from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times on the radio. I started out as an ER nurse at KVMH, working there in the 80s and the 90s, then over to Wilcox Hospital for the last 20 years, actually, with a two-year stint in there as Wilcox Hospital Coordinator for Community Health Education, and the last 7 years, Executive Director of Malamapono Health Services. I served as Board President of Hoiki, as Board President of American Heart Association, as President of the Rotary Club of Poipu Beach. Governance issues in boards of directors is something I teach, something I value very much. I'm running because I'm unhappy. I am so unhappy with the fighting, with the rancor, with the expense. I put myself forward as someone who addresses serious issues in the community, addresses them proactively, positively, and gets them done. Thank you.
Aloha, my name is Jonathan Jay, and I'm just one of 65,000 people who live on the island of Kauai, who loves this island and is so dang proud that we have a cooperative that runs our electrical utility grid. If we didn't have a co-op, we would not be here today. None of us would be up for election for anything. And so I just want to really appreciate that, and I want to appreciate the leadership team at KIUC, who's done such a great job in terms of bringing us forward and for solar power. Going to have some great new large solar power plants. Going to be developing 40 million dollar projects. That's fantastic. Should account for 40% of our electrical use during the day, and I think that we're on the right track with that. One place where I think that we have a unique opportunity is that Kauai is such a tight-knit community and an island community where people can learn and know how to work together with each other to get things done. At the end of the day, it's just us who are here. So I'm running to help build a better co-op, one that respects and protects minority rights, one that informs and empowers membership, and one that cooperates and is accountable to our community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Aloha. I'm Chuck Lasker. I'm probably the newest guy on the island in this group. I'm in my fourth year on Kauai. I own a business, Social Kauai, where I help small businesses and nonprofits with their online marketing. From the moment I stepped off the plane when I first visited here in 2007, I knew Kauai was my home. I mean, I just felt at home for the first time in my life. And so I've been, since moving here, working to serve the island every way that I can. And so my reason for running is because people have asked me to run. And I feel like at this point, that would be the best way that I can serve Kauai. My focus would be on member communications. I still think there's weakness there, cost savings, and an aggressive pursuit of renewable energy. And I'm an electronics engineer by education. I've been a VP of operations of a national company, so I understand financials. And I've been on boards for nonprofits, and so I have some background there, too. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Phil Takbian. My family has been on Kauai over 100 years now. I'm third generation, and I have three generations following me. They all went to Kapa School. We live in Wailua Homestead, so I have great-grandchildren that's at Kapa Elementary and Kapa Middle School at this time. And the reason why I'm running again is because when I first got on the board, we were 90% fuel. Today, we are below 50% because of all the renewables that we put together as a group. And we know that as a board member, you cannot do anything by yourself without the cooperation of the other members of the board. And cooperation is a key to success in a board. And I will continue pursuing the renewables and see that it gets completed as we plan. By the end of next year, we should be 40% renewable, and hopefully I'll be around to see it get done. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. My name is Jimmy Trujillo. I've been a member of KIUC since 2002. Like many of you, like the other 10 candidates here, I share a passion for Kauai and aloha for our island home and community service. I am an educator working with students at Kapa High School and at Kauai Community College doing a program called Construction Academy. I was invited here in 1999 to work with some youth that were experiencing problems adjusting to life in the Department of Education and the Department of Corrections in a correctional facility. I'm running as a member who senses a fair amount of dissatisfaction with the way our cooperative is operating. I would like to help make our cooperative be more cooperative and build a cooperative that works for all of us. Mahalo, and look forward to, thank you, Paul Kauai, for hosting this event with the Wailua Kapa Neighborhood Association.
Aloha, my name is Peter Yukimura. I am a third generation Kauai resident. Except for about 6 years when I went to school in the mainland and in Honolulu, and 14 months in Vietnam, I lived on Kauai all of my life. With my children and grandchildren on the island, now I have 5 generations on Kauai. So that's the main reason that I'm running for re-election to the board. I want to do all I can to improve the quality of life for my generations, my future generations, and their generations. Let me tell you, I think you should vote for me. I have a degree in accounting. I can understand financial statements. I know how to run a business. I have been a CEO for over 35 years. At one time, I ran 3 companies on Kauai with sales over $40 million and about 70 employees. And KIUC is a big business. Let me tell you why. Most important, why you should vote for me.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Time is up. You'll get another chance. Thank you, candidates. So 2 quick housekeeping announcements. The restrooms are through this doorway on the left, and also there are some refreshments and water over on the far corner. So our second question is a topic about governance. Question number 2. KIUC embraces the 7 guiding principles of a cooperative, and principle 2 is democratic member control, and I'll read that to you. Cooperatives are democratic organizations controlled by their members who actively participate in setting policies and making decisions. The elected representatives are accountable to the membership. What is your interpretation of this principle regarding the members' role in decision-making and policy setting? What types of matters should be put to the vote of members? So I've pulled 6 names from the fishbowl, and first is Stu Burley. Surprise. Yeah, thank you for passing the mic. We only have 2.
Again, I'm Stu Burley, and what that means to me is I have been on many boards on throughout the state of Hawaii. Of course, I've been here 57 years, and when you talk about generations, I've got 4 generations living right here on this island. And I've also been president of 2 or 3 organizations, not only here, but in Honolulu. And I am firmly believe that the board runs the business. However, the board has to take its direction from the members. Now, the members vote for the board to make those decisions on the board. One thing that I see as lacking sometimes here is the decisions of the board don't always get back to the members. So it has to be a two-way street. The board listens to the members, and hopefully the members listen to the board, who runs the business.
Thank you very much. So I apologize, candidates. I didn't follow my own guidelines. I picked the names. I'm supposed to read the names, then read the question. So the next candidates answering will be Jimmy Trujillo in this order, Adam Asquith, Phil Takbian, DQ Jackson, and Neil Shantara. Take it away, Jimmy.
This is, I think, a very important question. It's a primary the reason why I chose to run for election or for a seat on the board. I guess last Monday when we turned in our candidate applications, we received a briefing from a former board member, Walt Barnes, one of the founding members, I guess, of KIUC. There was a lot of information shared that was very eye-opening. I appreciated the information, broad information shared, but the specific question I asked in regards to when do we bring a question to the board? When do we bring questions to membership for a discussion? When do we get a decision from membership about direction? And was flatly told never. That's just not what you do. And I asked why, and I was shocked. To be honest, I was just blown away that the response was because they're clueless. And I just felt like, wow, blown away. So I think that this is a key area where we can do better in regards to our cooperative being more cooperative, our membership being
Thank
more
you,
engaged
Jimmy.
And educated,
Sorry, time's
and
up.
Look forward to making this happen. Thank you.
Adam Asquith is our next speaker as the microphone comes down.
Thank you. This is Adam Asquith. I think the ability for members to call into question board actions is absolutely critical as part of the checks and balances that are demanded under our bylaws and to be in compliance with state corporation law under which we function. The staff cannot engage in certain important actions without approval, review and approval of the board. The board cannot engage in some controversial actions if they happen to be contrary to what the membership believes. So if I were, even if you trusted me enough to elect me, if I went sideways and did something that you thought was wacko, you better call me on it. I would expect you to. And fortunately, we have written into our bylaws the capacity to do that, and we should exercise it. Thank you.
Phil Takbian. Thank you, Gabriella. Another Apollo Kauai volunteer.
Thank you. I'm Phil Takbian. I'm a parliamentarian by training, and I have trained the Kauai County Council and all boards and commissions on Kauai, as well as on the Big Island, Maui, and Oahu, throughout the state of Hawaii. And the democratic principle is outlined in parliamentary law is that the members are responsible for the bylaws, they're responsible for the articles of incorporation, and they're responsible for electing the board of directors. And the board of directors, in turn, manages the company on their behalf. Now, how do we get input from the public before our meetings? We have public testimony where the public can come up and tell us what they think. And there's no way that the board can go out and contact every member out there. You know, we have 23,000 members. And the thing is, we have our Currents magazine. We have our websites, Twitter, Facebook. And that's where we get information to you, and you can send your emails back to us.
Thank you very much.
Who's next?
DQ Jackson.
The question was democracy and when should matters need to go to a vote. As regards to democracy, you elect a board member because this is a person you trust to act in your best interest. I'm asking you to consider me because I've acted in the best interests of your family members and health, safety, wellness for the last three decades. So it's who you trust, that's the people that you elect to do what is in the best interest, because you can't all go there. When should a matter be brought to the vote? And the answer is as infrequently as possible. It is so expensive, so divisive, so difficult, but the information has to somehow come out to the members. But a vote, look at the difficulty right now. My goodness.
Neil Shantara.
I always have trouble getting all my thoughts together. I have so much information. We were told that if we're an engineer, we leave our engineering at the door, and that if a proposal is brought to us, we are not to Google it. And then he went further to say we are not allowed to Google it and try to find out. We are only to rely upon what management brings us. And I think it's time we opened our eyes a little further. The new CEO that took over Alcoa Aluminum years ago took the suggestions of the employees and improved workplace safety. And it worked so well, he opened it up and took suggestions from all the people that worked there on any topic. And Alcoa Aluminum did extremely well. And I think we have so much island expertise. Yes, we are supposed to rely upon the expertise that management brings us, but let's go further.
Thank you, Neil. Very good candidates. All right, so the third question, this is the sequence of responders. First, Jonathan Jay, Chuck Lasker, Peter Yukimura, David Iha, then Daniel Erickson. The question is, it's a governance-related question again. There has been criticism that the cooperative is not sufficiently democratic or cooperative with its members. How would you improve engagement with members, and how would you improve the cooperative's transparency, or not?
This is Jonathan Jay. In the same way that KIUC is providing leadership in the nation right now with its solar power, 40% of the power next year will be from solar power. In the same way that KIUC's leadership there, KIUC should be providing leadership in terms of addressing community concerns and community issues and bringing the community into the process. You know, if you take a look at the co-op guidelines, it talks about democratic member control. It's a democratic organization. Well, if they have the meetings for the co-op in the middle of the day, in the middle of the island when everybody's at work, and they don't videotape the meetings and they don't have complete minutes of what the discussion was, well, then it's very difficult for people, hardworking people on the island, to get involved, to get informed, and to engage in the process. And I think KIUC needs to do a much, much better job of outreach in terms of engaging the community, informing the members, and empowering our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck Lasker is next.
This is Chuck Lasker. Seven of us were at the meeting on Monday when Walt Barnes kind of explained what it is that the board does and what the board doesn't do. And most of the presentation was about the legal aspects of what a board can and can't do based on federal law, state law. It's a not-for-profit, so there are things you just cannot do. And even if you like the idea of getting involved in which technologies are being used, that's not what the board does. That's not what governance is. That's operations. And so governance in this case, for what the board is allowed to do, is setting directions and strategic goals, and then the company goes out and performs those, and the board then reviews and says you're either doing it or not doing it, and you need to change things. Where there's a weakness is in communications. The quarterly meetings, 20 people might show up, so obviously that's not reaching 23,000 members. So there have to be other ways to get things out there, and one of the things is taking the board meeting minutes and making them more readable.
Next, we'll hear from Peter Yukimura.
You know, being on the board for the past 9 years, we've been criticized for not communicating as well as we could with the membership. I tell you, in those 9 years, I thought we did a lot of communication, more than most organizations. We do the Karens, which we get criticized for because we're spending too much money. Yeah. We hold community meetings several times a year, which hardly anybody shows up. So we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. So you can email the board members anytime you like. And so, you know, if you have suggestions what we can do, please let us know, because I can't think of anything more. Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from David Iha.
I think Walt Lasker brought an important topic. You know, the board does work on a strategic plan, and this past few years when we worked on our strategic plan, we had drafts of that available on the website as well as in the community. We went out to the community with our drafts to receive input, and that is where I think the important input in setting the direction of the co-op is set. And so we've done, as Peter mentioned, a number of things. We've met in Hanapepe, met in Waipoli. We've had evening or late afternoon meetings. We have tried to use technology to get, you know, all our minutes are on the website, transparent. Our financial records are on the website. It's transparent. They're a lot more so than a lot of cooperatives around the country. So I feel that, you know, we've want to engage the members, and then they in turn need to engage with us. Thank you.
Thank you. The last response for this question will come from Daniel Erickson.
On Kauai, we're pretty lucky that we have a customer-owned co-op opposed to a lot of for-profit co-op or for-profit energy hierarchy, I guess. And I just want to help get people involved a little bit more so they know what's going on. It sounds like that's a pretty tough task, but whatever we can do to further helping people with their concerns or further how well like we can serve them, because that's the point of our position. So we need to make sure that we are keeping the customers, who are the owners essentially, happy and hopefully getting cheaper electricity.
Thank you very much. So before our next question, I'd like to have people raise their question cards up so they can be collected by our volunteers. So if you have any questions so far, please turn them in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Next question has to do with rates. Question 4. Are you? And there are a few seats left if you'd like to take a seat at this time.
And we are at the Wailua Neighborhood Association meeting listening to the KIUC candidate forum.
And I was just reminded that I will remind that you'll have another opportunity to continue handing in your questions before 3 o'clock. So question 4, rates related. Are you in favor of or opposed to KIUC's current rate structure that charges customers based on consumption? Or would you support a different rate structure? And if so, please describe that structure. And the candidates who will answer, starting with Chuck Lasker, Jonathan Jay, David Iha, Adam Asquith, Peter Yukimura.
Okay, this is Chuck Lasker. The rate structure, I mean, it clearly should be involved with the people who use more electricity pay more for the electricity. There are alternatives that the Public Utilities Commission has been looking at for Hawaii based on usage throughout the day. One of the nice things about the smart meters is they can send back what use you are, how you're using it throughout the day. So in the daytime, when energy is cheaper to produce because of all of our solar, the rates can be lower and then higher at night when energy is more expensive. And that creates an incentive then, if you're going to do your laundry, try to do it during the day instead of at night, because it'll be a little more expensive doing it at night. And those types of programs that help people, give incentives to be more efficient with their energy, those are ones I will always support. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Next responder is Jonathan Jay.
Aloha, this is Jonathan Jay, and I want to really thank everybody who took the time out of their day to come in today, and for folks who are listening on the radio, and also Hoike, or whatever, wherever that video is going to go. Yeah, that's awesome. As far as the rate structure goes, one of the things that concerns me about time of day billing is that a lot of people are working jobs and won't be able to take advantage of lower rates during the day. So that's a big concern to me. That has to do with social justice. I think that applying market forces to people's electrical use is a good idea in theory, but it's very critically important that we take into consideration how it actually affects people in the real world, because people are not always rational economic players, and they don't always have the opportunity to respond to the pressures of the market forces. One thing I'd like to see as far as rate structure goes is stepped rates based on consumption, which you do not need a smart meter for. What that would mean is that everybody gets a small amount of highly affordable electricity, and that as you use more, your rates go up, and that would incentivize conservation.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
David Iha responds next.
The board recently adopted its strategic plan in August of 2013, and the first goal of that plan, and I'll read it to you, it says, decrease average residential energy bill by 10% after adjusting for oil prices over the next 10 years through implementation of renewable energy plan, assertive cost control measures, and innovative efficiency solutions for members. And we set that goal so that we could really reduce residential rates for everyone. And some of the plans that we've talked about is some the others mentioned was time of use rates, but we need to incentivize people not only to reduce their consumption, but in terms for the KIUC, we need to even our peak demand, we have to avoid the valleys and the highs so that we can be more efficient and thus reduce rates over time.
Thank you. Adam Asquith responds next.
Thank you. This is Adam Asquith. I'm in favor of our current rate structure with regarding electrical consumption. It's probably one of the few true costs that's fair and equitable. Everybody gets to choose how much electricity they're going to use per month, in contrast to many of the other costs that that are not fair that we all share as a cooperative. For example, if you live in Princeville, the cost of delivering and maintaining electricity from an LLA power plant to your home in Princeville is not the same as a member in LLA. So the LLA folks subsidize power delivery to the folks in Princeville. So a fixed rate, the amount you actually consume, is one of the few true costs that you get to choose and determine. Rate of use or time of day use, I do not support because that is not fair. It's not socially equitable because some people simply cannot be home at the time to take advantage of the lower rates. Thank you.
And next is Peter Yukimura. Peter Yukimura.
Hi, Peter Yukimura. I am not happy with the current rate structure that KIUC has. For one thing, it incentivizes the company, the electric company, to get more profit if you generate more. So it makes us try to sell more power to make more profit. You know, that's not the way the co-op should be. What we're trying to do is to make sure that we have a mechanism that we can cover our costs, but not overly make too much overly make profit. So what we're doing that now? We're going to the PUC and try to do a decoupling mechanism, because to do a rate case, it takes a year, it takes several million dollars, and so we're trying to get away from that, and then if you do that, your rates will come down.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, this is another rate-related question, and some of you have touched on this. It's about time-of-use rates, also known as time-based pricing. The sequence is Neil Shantara, Daniel Erickson, Phil Takbian, Jimmy Trujillo, D.Q. Jackson, followed by Stu Burley. The question is, instead of a single flat rate for energy use, Time of use rates are higher when electric demand is higher during peak hours. To save money, customers would need to use less electricity at times of peak demand. What are your thoughts on whether KIUC should introduce time of use rates?
Neil Shantara. I don't claim to know the answers, so I research and refer to experts. To quote Getting Smarter About the Smart Grid, implementing time-based rates with simply a meter without automatic load control equipment is probably worse than nothing because it disadvantages some customers and may alienate many. If such equipment is in place, the meter is ancillary, subordinate. End quote. This should have been discovered before we spent the money on meters to charge people more for using power at peak times. Watch now. I bet you'll see the marketing people call time of use giving you a discount for using power off peak. Time of use rates are not effective or equitable without real-time displays of rates and usage. They are not fair to those who have no choice as to when they use power, usually the lower-income families.
Daniel Erickson,
hello,
next.
Daniel Erickson. I can understand why you would want to, if you produce more energy, it becomes more efficient, and therefore it becomes cheaper to produce. So they want to incentivize people to use the energy when it's most cheaply available. I think that if we were to, like solar panels during the day, if we had another source at night that was able to produce us cheaper electricity, renewable energy, then it would be a more of a wholesome system, and therefore we could keep the rates down over the whole clock, opposed to having the problem with people wanting to or not being home when the energy is the cheapest.
Thank you. Phil Tocbeon next.
Tocbeon, the time of use rates, from what I understand, it's being considered right now with the Public Utilities Commission, and they're looking at it, and I'm led to believe that they're looking at Hawaiian Electric first before they look at what we have. And so we're going to investigate the value of having time of use rates. And there's many types of rates. We're using flat rates right now, and some people favor it, some people don't. Time of use rates would be good for people that can take advantage of power during the daytime hours when the sun is out and not during the evening hours. But this is being investigated at this time, and we'll know shortly as to what direction we're going to be taking. Thank you.
Jimmy Trujillo next.
So I bet that it's kind of news to the majority of you that the utility co-op is considering this, that this is something that is on the horizon for us to put forth as a decision. I think before we go there, we need to have a robust discussion amongst ourselves. I think that this should be one of those issues that membership gets a chance to weigh in on in a significant way. I think Jonathan Jay just mentioned a proposal that makes really good sense. I think the inequities and the hardship that working class families would have would put, if you will, cooperative principle number 7 at risk, which is concern for community. I think that we have an obligation to look at ways of working with our community to better serve our community, and I'm not sure exactly the method, but I'm not really 100% behind the idea of this rate structure that is being proposed. Thanks.
DQ Jackson.
Thank you. I'm DQ Jackson. Regarding time-based prices, I do think we have to consider the effect that time-based prices will have on efficiency, also on conservation. Equity is a very nice concept.
I'm not sure we can make everything equal for everybody all the way around. Again, if somebody's going to want to use a lot, I think that that's their decision. If somebody wants to use less and has the ability to conserve and reduce their bill, we're talking about rates, but frankly, what concerns me is my bill when it shows up. So since it's being considered, yeah, we need to talk about this community-wide. I agree with that.
Last responder is Stu Burley to this question.
Don't hit me.
I'm Stu Burley, and I don't quite agree to the time of use rate established by KIUC. I'm more in favor of talking to the members and finding out what their time would be. Now, my rate, I don't pay 46 cents or whatever it is during the day. I look at the price when my microwave goes on. I pay 75 cents a kilowatt hour. I know that. At night, when all the lights are up, I'm paying about 6 cents a kilowatt hour. It all averages out to about 40, 45. It averages out. But to establish a time use rate by KIUC, it should be investigated, and of course the PUC has the final word, unfortunately, so we just have to abide by that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to shift gears and have a yes-no question for the candidates next, so everyone will be responding by a show of hands. The question is, concerning the KIUC special election about smart meter fees, many people criticize KIUC for launching a full media campaign asking members to vote yes on the ballot. Do you believe it was ethical to try to influence voters in this way? If yes, raise your hands now. Thank you. If you believe it was unethical to influence voters, very true. If you believe it was ethical, please raise your hands. So I see Peter and Phil and Chuck and DQ, Daniel and Stu. Thank you. David Isha, thank you. And the no, if no, raise your hand. And we have Adam and Neil and JJ and Jimmy. Any abstentions? All right, thank you. Okay, moving on to renewable energy. Oops, I'm falling behind. Our responders to this next question will be Phil, Chuck, Jonathan, Neil, Eric, I'm sorry, Daniel Erickson, and DQ. The question is, KIUC recently asked the PUC, the Public Utility Corporation?
Commission,
to approve a change in how the utility will treat its customers who have invested in rooftop solar. The change would reduce the credit that customers receive by about 25% by replacing the old methodology called Schedule Q with a new methodology. As proposed, the change would apply to all customers, including those who have already invested in rooftop solar. So if elected to the board, would you ask KIUC to reconsider its position on Schedule Q? Phil?
No, the position that our management has taken is was accepted, and we did our investigation into it, and we think that the method that's being proposed is the proper thing to do at this time. Thank you.
Chuck Lasker responds next.
Hi, I'm Chuck Lasker again. I'll be honest with you, I don't know anything about that topic. I decided to run about a week and a half ago and been learning as much as I can. But what I can tell you is when an issue comes up, one of the things the board, each board member has to do is investigate, consider what the membership wants, and in my case would be talking to other people, just like the issue with the time of use. Very interesting comments here that I think have already altered my viewpoint on that. So I don't have an opinion on this particular issue because I haven't had the time to really study it, get to understand it. I can just say that when issues do come up, I will be working to understand what it is, what's best for the membership, in making those decisions.
Thank you. Jonathan Jay.
Aloha, Jonathan Jay. I think that KIC has a responsibility to inform and empower the membership about these kinds of strategic decisions that they make before they go to the PUC. And the reason why is because that way they can have member support when they go to the PUC for issues like this, and people like Chuck won't have to sit here and say, well, I don't really know anything about it because KIUC, my co-op, didn't do a good job informing me. As far as reducing the credit that people have on Schedule Q, I think it's a real challenge because people made investments in their solar power, and they decided to spend their money and pool it into the island grid based upon the rate of return they were going to get. And now I'm sure some people will feel that they're getting the rug pulled out from underneath them, and that's not very fair. It's also not fair that some people who came into the system early with their PV, with their photovoltaics, receive net metering. They get the same amount of rate for their power they generate as they do the full retail cost for their what they use. And so I'd like to see more fairness in that.
Thank you. Neil Shantara is next.
Hello. Neil Shantara, I want to see distributed energy generation and storage, and anything we can do to distribute that energy and put it onto rooftops all over the island and businesses all over the island is the direction we should be going. And as I said earlier, using the grid as a battery backup is the most environmentally sustainable way we can proceed. Until batteries become more environmentally benign, I think we should continue this approach. I would try to decentralize KIUC rather than centralize it. And all the direction that I see going is towards centralization, and that is a dinosaur. That is a business model that is no longer going to work, and I'm in favor.
Thank you. Daniel Erickson speaks next.
I'm with Chuck. I don't know a whole lot about the issue, but definitely I think we should be encouraging people to support renewable energy and to help us implement it as time goes on. We obviously have really expensive energy, and when you sell it back to the co-op, they're not going to want to – we can't afford to pay you how much it costs us to sell it to you. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in business. So, therefore, we're going to have to give you something for the energy, but I think that if you're talking about a one-to-one, that's an impossible feat. And energy is more efficiently distributed if it's like from a big solar grid than individually. The R factor, which is like a coefficient they relate to efficiency, goes down as if you have a small grid on your roof compared to a huge grid out in the field. So it's kind of a personal choice if you want to put on solar, but I think we should more support the co-op to giving us a more reliable, sustainable energy source than to argue about how much they're giving the money for.
Thank you, Daniel. And the last responder to this question is DQ Jackson.
DQ Jackson, I'm going to be very careful with this. I really don't have enough information to make a public statement at this time, so I'm going to be very careful with this. Thanks for the question anyway.
Thank you. We're approaching the 3 o'clock hour, so I'd like to ask the audience to, again, raise their cards to be collected. And I have I'll put forth one other question.
KKCR Hale, KAQA Kilauea.
Energy. And Adam Asquith will go first, then by Peter Yukimura, David Iha, Jimmy Trujillo, and Stu Burley. The question is, power sources such as photovoltaic, solar generators, and wind power are not firm electric generation sources. In other words, they generate intermittent power that is not constantly available. Yet, KIUC must maintain an adequate supply of reliable generation to constantly meet customer needs. Besides using fossil fuel power, what types of renewable firm power would you like to see implemented? And Adam goes first.
Thank you. This is Adam Asquith. I'm a hyper advocate of both hydroelectric and biomass utilization. That may seem funny to some of those folks who have heard me talk about the issues, but it's true. They both need to be utilized to the maximum extent that provides a balanced use of those resources and elevates the public trust over and above our personal and collective needs. If we challenge the public trust in pursuit of those resources, we've done a disservice both to ourselves and to our future generations. So I'm a support, and I am supportive of KIUC's direction in pursuing those. What we need is a much more open discussion and transparent discussion about how we pursue those goals, who's going to benefit, who's going to provide them, and how those providers will be incorporated into the benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter Yukimura.
Peter Yukimura, one of the few times I'm going to agree with Adam. To me, the most important generation, renewable generation that we can develop is hydro, because it'll last. You know, look at Wainiha. It's been there for, 100 years, and it's still producing 7 megawatts, you know, at the cheapest power available. Oh, 4 megawatts, sorry. but anyway, hydro is number one. Biomass, that's what Green Energy is putting up in Koloa. It sounds good. You know, it'll produce 7 megawatts of power that's sustainable. But what's really exciting now is that we're going to try and develop a pumped storage where with all the excess solar voltaic energy that we have, if we can utilize that energy and pump water and then bring it back down as hydro.
Thank you. Next is David Iha.
Over the past 43 years with the University of Hawaii, I've used this phrase, start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. And we are on an island apart from any grid that's been funded and been supported by hydro or fossil fuel or nuclear. So we're on an island. And so use what we have. We have solar, we have water. And, you know, we've made great strides in solar, that our CEO was named the CEO of the year for our solar penetration. We're working on hydro for the last 2-3 years. And water is a valuable resource. So there are a lot of rules and regs governing water. But, you know, we're still pursuing that, and we need to pursue that even quicker when interest rates are at the lowest possible bottom so that we can build those things that are reasonable. So we're going to pursue hydro, biomass, and solar.
Jimmy Trujillo is next.
So I think that hydro is definitely part of our future. It's certainly part of the past that's working for us. I live very close by to a stream. I think that there's infrastructure that's been neglected for a long time from the plantation era that could be brought into our power generation scheme. Biomass is certainly a consideration. I think that I would prefer for us not to go burn stuff for our energy purposes, but it's better than diesel. With that said, we have a lot of agricultural lands that could be brought into production for whether it's switchgrass, back to cane, hemp. These are all things that we consider that would be alternatives to GMO corn going on in these farmlands that will put people, keep people back to work. I think that we're surrounded by an ocean, and we should look at our ocean currents, whether it's OTEC, ocean thermal energy conversion, or wave energy as a solution for firm regeneration, green energy. That's the direction we should go.
Thank you. And the last person responding to this question about renewable firm power is Stu Burley.
My name is Stu Burley, and I'm all for hydropower. But in the future, we live on an island, and what's all around this island? Water. And what does the water have? A current. Now, I did a study a number of years ago, and the current down past Kekaha and Waimea is 1.7 knots. That's a pretty fast current. I had a student at Kauai Community College, and I asked him to build what is called a Savonius rotor. It was made out of a coffee can. And we put it under the pier at Waimea, and the meter moved. It produced power from a coffee can. Now, it's small, but it's the start. And the seed is planted, and hopefully in the future, while I'm still here on the island and alive, we'll have hydropower from the ocean that's around our beautiful island. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I have our first question from the audience, and the sequence of speakers to address that. First will be Phil Takbian, then Daniel Erickson, DQ Jackson, Neil Shantara, and Chuck Lasker. And the question is, why does Kauai pay the most for electricity in the nation? Phil.
Well, I believe the reason for that is because we are a standalone utility, and we have 1,700 miles of line about 30,000 customers to pay for the cost of those lines. And we don't have the benefit of having a lot of people on the line. So the cost of generating and all that is spread amongst a lesser amount of people. Like in Honolulu, they spread it out over many, many people. So, and Maui is twice the size of us, so it's a big island. But that's one of the reasons. And, of course, the fuel cost, when we took over the generation from Lihue Plantation, cost of fuel was very low. And but now it's very high, and this is why we are moving away from using fossil fuel and going into renewables.
Thank you. Next speaker, Daniel Erickson.
I think Phil was right on. We're burning diesel. Diesel is much more expensive than coal, natural gas, anything. For one thing, our main feedstock that we make our energy from is a lot higher than most other feedstocks that we could be using. And we live on an isolated island very far from any main continent. And that obviously produces some transportation issues. It costs us a lot of money to get the diesel here. So that's obviously why we have the most expensive energy. If we can start producing the energy a lot cheaper, obviously it'll start going down, and maybe that would be changing our feedstock. Start looking at more hydropower, expanding solar. All these stuff are starting to make more economic sense as your rate goes, as the what you buying is higher. They pay themselves off a lot faster. So therefore, we need to keep looking for new sources to extract energy from, opposed to keep burning basically diesel. There's hardly anyone, I think less than 0.1% of the country is using diesel to produce their energy. And we're doing that, so.
Thank you, Daniel. DQ Jackson is next.
I'm DQ Jackson, and why do we pay the most for electricity? Everybody's pointing it up. It's obvious to everybody. We're on this little island way out in the middle of the Pacific. Everything's got to be barged in. Everything's got to, they need to come off the island. So what could we do about it? The renewable is fine. When I look at hydro, I was surprised and disappointed by the potential for hydro. We all know the problems, the permitting problems, how long it takes and so forth. But, you know, when you look at it as an overall percentage of what could be, I'm disappointed in the potential. I would like to see also far better efficiency from KIUC in terms of, like, what happened. I guess the best thing is, in terms of efficiency, things they could do, like I noticed that they're putting in, working with the county, working on new streetlights around that, putting in LEDs in there. Wow, what a difference that'll make. There's a whole bunch of efficiency issues that KIUC is doing well, but I think they can do an awful lot more on. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Neil Shantara.
If we could answer that question, I think we'd have a lot of problems solved. I don't know exactly why, but I think it's a lot of inefficiencies along the way. We just seem to make everything more expensive here when it doesn't need to. I could just hold up a graph of what KIUC considers fair meter reading costs. That's the tall bar there, when the industry average is 50 cents a meter, even with a lot of analog meters in there, and with places far more spread out around the country than Kauai is in terms of customers per mile. They're reading 500 meters a day, things like that. I think we are paying way more than we need to, and we really need to take a hard look and do some reorganization, and that could bring our costs down. Naturally, I'm in favor of renewables and all of that, but that's okay.
Thank you. The last responder to this question is Chuck Lasker.
Hi again. I'm Chuck Lasker. One of the things that's interesting about KIUC, out of the almost 1,000 electrical cooperatives around the country, we are one of the few that actually generates our own power. Most of them just tap into other grids, other private areas, and they pay per kilowatt hour into the co-op. We actually have the cost of maintaining all of our equipment, all of the staff, everything like that. So that has an effect there. And I think the biggest thing is to look at the efficiency there and look at where the costs can be cut. Say instead of sending out a physical currents magazine, look at people opting in to be able to get it by email. Little things like that can add up quite a bit and bring the rates down for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have a smart meter and smart grid technology question. What aspect of this technology do you strongly support or strongly oppose? And the candidates answering will be Adam Asquith, then Stu Burley, followed by Jonathan Jay, Peter Yukimura, Jimmy Trujillo, and David Iha.
Thank you. This is Adam Asquith. I'm a strong supporter of smart grid technology. I believe it is a necessity to integrate the distributed renewable energy systems that we're all advocating for and moving towards. That smart grid technology does not require smart billing machines, which is what smart meters are. They were simply an off-the-shelf technology that was quick and easy and will allow for a time-of-use billing, not necessarily a requirement for smart grid technology. So I am opposed to smart meters for a whole bunch of reasons. In addition to that, they're not necessary to implement a highly integrated smart grid. Thank you.
Our next respondent is Stu Burley.
This is Stu Burley again, and I believe in the smart grid. In fact, the electrical companies across America, most of them, well, almost all of them, but most of them, are proponents of smart grids as they look around for the cheapest electricity to that they can give to their customers, their members. I'm also a techie, so I am all for the smart meter. And it's put in, and it generates what I'm using. Every 10 seconds, I believe that's what was on the card. And I like that. It just goes into a computer, and that's the future. That's the future. That's high tech that goes with the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan Jay responds next.
Aloha, this is Jonathan Jay, and I humbly request that your vote in this election. I agree with Adam about the smart grid. I think that upgrading the infrastructure, making the prudent investments in our grid around the island is what we need to do in order to integrate all the renewables, especially the distributed power. And I think that's the direction we need to go in terms of this island, in terms of sustainable energy here. The smart meter, I'm not so convinced about. I haven't seen that it's a cost-effective step for our island to take. However, I approve of KIUC offering these technologies to people, and I approve of freedom of choice with these kinds of issues. You know, if you think a smart meter will help you and your household, then great, go for it. If you don't want to have a smart meter in your house, that should also be your free choice, and you should not be penalized with a fee to try and push you into getting something that you don't want to have, and you shouldn't have to pay for something that you're not using. So that's my position about smart meters.
Thank you. Next speaker is Peter Yukimura.
Peter Yukimura. I believe one of the key components of the smart grid is a smart meter. You know, you're talking about time of use rate. Say we're producing electricity through our solar farms at 12 cents a kilowatt, and we will offer that time of use from 11 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. This is when we're producing all that cheap power. That's the time we should offer the residents. You use the power that time, we're going to charge you a lesser amount. And that's what it is. And also, the smart meter will help balance our load. If we are close to hitting our peak, we can have agreements with large users that let us control your use. We can cut your power during a peak load so we don't have to add more generation. And there's so much things we can do with the smart grid. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Jimmy Trujillo.
Thanks. And this is definitely one of the more controversial issues that our co-op has been faced with. I have learned a lot in the last little bit about smart grid technology and the benefits of having that. I remember at KCC a number of years back, Ben Sullivan was one of the few people that could answer that question of, do you favor smart grid? Most everybody was like, And I've got to tell you that this issue of smart meters is one that more and more people are understanding the limitations with it and the health concerns that people have. And the, if you will, it's been sold as this wonderful technology, but it hasn't really demonstrated that yet. And it's reflected in board members who support that this is the only way that we can go. I think that there's other alternatives to that and that we have opportunities to maximize our efficiencies, and that here you are hearing about this time of use billing, news to a lot of us, and is this part of the smart meter program?
Thank you.
I hope not.
Last responder to this question is David Iha.
I'm David Iha. I support the smart grid. We included that in our budget when I served as director because it provides up-to-date technology for us to provide reliable energy for our members. I also, along with Apollo Kauai, support smart meters because it allows us to monitor our power usage so that, you know, solar power is a disruptive power. You know, when the cloud goes over, you know, you don't have power. So we need to be able to monitor our electricity so that what we provide you is reliable and it's safe. And so I support both the smart grid and smart meter.
Thank you, candidates. I think I missed my cue from the top of the hour that a reminder you're listening to KKCR 91.9 FM Community Radio. Okay, the sequence of candidate responders next will be Chuck Lasker, Neil Shantara, DQ Jackson, Phil Takbian, and Daniel Erickson. The question is, the Garden Island newspaper regularly publishes a list of building permits, and approximately 90% of those seem to be for solar photovoltaic installations. And even though KIUC's net metering program has reached its limit, people are continuing to install PV. So as more customers and large businesses install PV to produce their power, what potential challenges do you see for KIUC? Chuck Lasker.
Awesome. I'm Chuck Lasker. Well, it's kind of an interesting situation where if everybody was on solar and producing their own energy, it would be really tough to provide, you know, energy, let's say 90% were for the other 10% at an efficient cost. So there's always a balance that needs to be looked at as far as being able to have the structure there for the base structure for power while allowing people to take advantage of renewable energy technologies like PV. So it's something that's going to have to be looked at. I think that's part of the issue of looking at what's going to be paid to people when we buy the power back from their PV, as far as being able to afford to do that while still existing as a corporation. Thank you.
Rain, would you read the Thank question you. Again with that?
So as more customers and large businesses install PV to produce their own power, what potential challenges do you see for KIUC?
The ferocious challenges. Did you see the nice article in the Honolulu Advertiser about the problems on Honolulu with people wanting now to have photovoltaics but being unable to because it's full over there? They no longer have the opportunity. Well, for somebody like me, I put the photovoltaics on my roof 2 years ago. That was really great. Dropped my bill from $400 to $100. I love this, of course. But now I'm 2 years older and I'm retired. I couldn't do that, because I can't get the tax credits anymore. So when the Garden Island newspaper is filling it up with that, there is a limit on how much solar can be there on people's houses. But KIUC putting it in themselves is a different story if they can come up with a solution to storage.
Phil Takbian is next.
The question is one, I believe, that it's more engineering as to how much power the grid can take, and that's where we have to rely on a staff to make that determination. Although people can continue to put photovoltaic and benefit from it, but whether they can put it, the overflow goes back to the grid, that's something that our engineers will have to determine. I don't think that's a board issue. Thank you.
Last responder to this question is Daniel Erickson.
Daniel Erickson. I think the KIUC should take this as a sign. If you look at the community, or if you look at, say, a big business, they may have some environmental impact that they're trying to say, oh, this is nice, but the bottom line is they're going to be saving money. And they're saving money because they're using solar technology, which produces energy cheaper for them than what we are providing them. So we either need to hop on board because we can do it more efficiently than they can on a large scale with their small little system. But I do understand the engineering complications of overfeeding the system with too much PV, so there's an intricate balance there that I think needs to warrant some very serious discussion on how they're going to handle it. Thank you.
I didn't get to answer either question, so I'll jump in. Is that okay? Neil Shantara, I think it is unfortunate that we didn't look ahead to this I see the solution as increasing storage. We have put on some batteries. We could also do the pumped hydro that was mentioned earlier. And caution here with smart meters that do not belong with a smart grid. I believe it was Peter actually brought up the point about control. And with a smart meter, you can sign over control to KIUC, and I'm sure if you don't sign over control, you'll have to pay extra fees. But they can actually turn off individual photovoltaic systems through the smart meter grid is what we really have. And they can turn off your system in favor of the centralized PV plant that KIUC has. So I think we need to pay more attention to storage. We may have to make a few quick steps to recover and do this.
Thank you, Neil. I apologize for skipping over. All right, the next question is regarding on-bill financing. And the sequence will be Jonathan Jay, Stu Burley, Adam Asquith, David Iha, Peter Yukimura, Jimmy Trujillo. On-bill financing, also known as energy efficiency financing, provides low or zero-cost financing for residential energy efficiency improvements. The homeowner or the tenant repays loans through their electric bill monthly and pays an additional monthly fee. So do you support on-bill financing? Why or why not?
This is Jonathan Jay. I strongly support on-bill financing. I think it's a great way that the co-op can provide a service to the individual members of achieving low-cost capital, low-cost money, so they can make some wise choices on their home. I think one of the best things that you can do with on-bill financing is get some solar hot water on top of your roof. And if that's something that you can't afford to do, you know, costs a couple thousand dollars to do, on-bill financing is a great way to get that done, because what it will do is it will reduce your electric bill by a certain amount, and what you'll do is you'll pay that difference on your bill. So your energy costs won't go down, but you'll be making an investment in your future, and when it's paid off, boy, you're going to have lower bills, and that's a fantastic thing. So I strongly support on-bill financing. I'm Jonathan Jay, and I humbly request your vote in this election. Thank you.
Thank you. Stu Burley is next.
Again, this is Stu Burley, and yes, I support the on-bill financing. If there's any way that the cost of your electricity would come down, then I support that. Actually, everybody should support that. If you want your bill to come down, look at ways to bring it down, and that is one way to do it, and I totally support it, and that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Adam Asquith is next.
Thank you. This is Adam Asquith. I strongly support on-bill financing. There are some issues with regard to what the PUC has approved that financing for. Positively, they have approved it for purchase of solar hot water heating, which is the first thing we should all be doing to reduce our electrical consumption. But now we come to the fact that they've also approved financing for PV, yet we've just heard that the utilities have hit their maximum acceptance of PV. So what they haven't done is look even, you know, a year down the road and recognize we also need to be financing for individual storage so that there's no limitation. We should never put a limitation on our members to capture as much energy from the sun as we possibly can, and we should be financing that.
Thank you. Our next responder is David Iha.
You know, as a sitting director, one of our responsibilities is a fiduciary responsibility, and that includes respect for authority. And this, in our case, we have to respect the Public Utilities Commission that governs our operation, and they do have a docket looking at on-bill financing. Mm-hmm. And our staff, KIU staff, have been working with the PUC to implement that on-bill financing. So you'll be hearing more from us. So I support on-bill financing.
Thank you. Peter Yukimura.
Peter Yukimura, You know, of course, in theory, I would support unbilled financing. We need to give everybody, whatever income level, a chance to participate in renewable, especially solar, photovoltaic, and solar water heaters. But there's a lot of issues that is coming up. So don't expect that this thing will be solved soon, because, you know, how can the utility do the financing for an individual, especially a renter? They're not locked into that meter. So there's a lot of issues that need to be brought up. So although I support it, it's going to be a while before we can resolve this.
Thank you. Jimmy Trujillo is the next responder.
Thank you. I think that this is exactly what a co-op really could do to service its members. I truly think that this is the direction that we need to pursue. If I was elected, this is an area where I would put a tremendous amount of energy in so that we could bring down the cost of energy production for working class families, for folks that just can't put out the capital, like D.K. Jackson, who's got the money, right? A lot of us just don't have the money to be able to do that. But on bill financing, we can move in that direction. I think the $5.5 million that we spent for smart meters could have been better used as a capital source for us to do this type of solar production on our roofs. And so I think that this is the direction that we should be heading to.
Thank you. Okay. Next questions in this sequence. Daniel Erickson, Phil Takbian, DQ Jackson, Neil Shantara, Chuck Lasker. KIUC anticipates nearly 40% of its energy will come from renewable sources by the end of 2014. What recommendations do you have to reach 100% clean renewable energy that in a socially and environmentally responsible way? So Daniel Erickson first.
I don't know if any of you have checked out the wind diagrams, but on the whole United States of America, Hawaii has 19% of the wind potential. And that's not on land. This is out in the ocean is where a lot of this potential comes from. If you look around the world, Europe, global leaders in offshore wind production, Denmark, they've created huge economies just based on this. This is now viable technology. This can produce energy a lot more cheaply than other sources that we are looking at, especially if you have a farm. So I think that's one thing that we should at least investigate. I do realize the SOS, Save Our Shearwaters, which is one of the boards, I don't know if it's like a branch or something, but it's definitely supported on their website by that. And we could do this in a way that is environmentally safe. And I feel that would solve most of all the problems if we could generate or capture that wind energy offshore.
Phil, talk beyond.
When we started the strategic plan looking at the renewable energy, I was in the belief that we could do 60% by the year 2023, and I believe one of our staff members felt the same way. However, the rest of the board felt, let's be realistic and shoot for 50%, and we are going to hit the 50% soon. To go beyond that, you know, we can look at other means. We haven't talked about ocean energy. I heard Stu talk about that. But there was the technology that was used in Honolulu, but Kaneohe Marine Base on ocean energy, and they had problems. They said they had wave problems. The winter storm that broke all the buoys. But anyway, we have people that are doing it, and we can look at them, like in Oregon. And so besides what we're already doing, we can look at these other methods too. Okay.
Thank you. DQ Jackson, next.
Oh, yeah. Love the idea of 100%. How do you get there? Making the changes we need to make are very, very expensive. when you consider, you talk wind, you talk, the wave doesn't work yet, nobody's making it work yet. I'd love those ideas. Where are we going to get the money to make all those changeovers? They are expensive. There comes a point at which it's cheaper to burn oil, but we don't want to do that. So things I'd look at, storage. We've got to have some storage. There's all sorts of great ideas coming out, the battery banks and pumping water uphill, pumping trains full of coal up the hill and letting them roll back down even. These are all wonderful ideas, but we're not looking nearly enough at efficiency. Not nearly enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Shantara.
Neil Shantara, some of the items of a smart grid that do not include smart meters are microgrids, that's managing properly the little independent systems so that they can function to supply power within their local neighborhood and not depend on the whole entire grid. I mentioned distributed energy resources, conservation voltage reduction, energy management systems, real-time feedback, and microinverters. Definitely storage is a primary way that we need to go. But I see that there are many dedicated people with money that would be happy to invest in a rooftop solar system. Or I found that vertical axis wind turbines produce a lot of power and move slowly enough that the birds see the blur and don't seem to fly into them. So there are a lot of distributed energy resources we can use.
Thank you, Neil. And last responder to this question is Chuck Lasker.
Hello, I'm Chuck Lasker. There are a lot of technologies that are being worked on, and the reality is getting to 100%, we could do that in a couple of years if we were willing to have our rates be, you know, everybody's paying $10,000 a month. So there's a balance that has to be looked at as far as moving towards renewable energy, but also keeping the rates as low as possible. And it's really today the two issues that are mainly being discussed are rates and renewable energy. And we want lower rates and renewable energy, but it's hard to do both right now. And so we have to be, as a board, responsible to move as efficiently as possible in order to make sure that the rates, we don't invest in something where rates go way up because we were a little too early, and make sure that we're using the best data possible to make decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let's see how this works. We have a number of questions from the audience that are directed to existing board members. So I have three questions here, and the first I'll direct to Peter, followed by Phil, and followed by David Iha. So, Peter, did anyone on the board, past or present, take advantage of the discount offered to employees for electric rates?
No.
And the answer is no.
No.
Thank you. And Phil, you were heard to say, Phil, that members write the bylaws. How do the members amend the bylaws, and can the board also amend the bylaws?
The board can recommend amendment to the bylaws, but that has to be approved by the membership. The membership have the control of the bylaws, and they can also recommend amendments to the bylaws by going through the board.
Thank you. And David Iha, does KIUC destroy the audio recordings of the board minutes, of the board meetings?
You know, I'm not in charge of that, but I think our executive administrator, Pua Ching, keeps the board, the recording of the board minutes just to confirm the written minutes, and once that's done, it's destroyed. That's my understanding, but I'm not exactly sure until.
All right, yeah. Thank you. Okay, I'm pulling names next. And this next question is about a process known as decoupling. First to answer will be Stu Burley, followed by Jonathan Jay, Chuck Lasker, Peter Yukimura, Phil Takbian, and David Iha. So in the co-op's recent strategic plan, which was recently revised and adopted, there were details about rate adjustment process known as decoupling, and that breaks the link between customer electricity usage and utility revenues, and thereby removes the incentive for utilities to have to increase use of electricity. And since KIUC is both a producer and a distributor of power, what are your views about the co-op adopting decoupling in the future? And that goes to Stu Burley first.
Again, this is Stu Burley. My feelings on that are if it was in the strategic plan, and if the strategic plan was changed, then the members should have known what the change was. And at the same time, well, even before that, it would be up to the board, who represents all your members, it would be up to the board to provide the change to the strategic plan. Strategic plan is written primarily to support the mission of KIUC, like any strategic plan is. And so the board is the one that makes the plans, but the members are the ones that really make any changes to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan Jay next.
Thank you. This is Jonathan Jay. Decoupling is a pretty complex issue, and I don't claim to understand all of it. Basically, what it does is it helps remove some of the incentive that KIUC has as an institution to make the bulk of its revenue from selling power. And there's good and bad in everything. What's good about that is it should allow them to focus more on conservation and on demand-side reduction, which is something that we really need to do. There was a question earlier about how can we get to 100% sustainability, and most people had supply-side answers for that. Well, I can tell you there's no supply-side answer that's going to bring us to 100% sustainability in terms of renewable power. You got to look at supply, and you got to look at demand. If we reduce our demand significantly, that's going to help us bring up the percentage of renewable power. One of the things I'm concerned about with decoupling, however, is that it will also insulate the co-op as an entity from consumer feedback, because they'll be making their money whether you are paying for electricity or not. So that's a big concern of mine.
Thank you. Chuck Lasker next.
Hi, Chuck Lasker again. One of the things about KIUC that as a co-op, a cooperative, we're not for profit. There isn't anybody making a profit. People talk about, well, they've increased the bills so that they can get all this money from the membership and all that. At the end of the year, if there's any money left over, it goes right back to the membership. And so it's completely true. It's the law. It's a not-for-profit. There's nobody that can make a profit. So, I mean, it's federally regulated, state regulated, not-for-profit. If anybody made a profit, people would go to prison. So it's just that's part of when we worry about incentives, the incentive for – I don't think we have to worry about the incentive for the board to think, let's make more profit, because there isn't any profit to be made. Thank you.
Thank you. We're not debating with our candidates. We're listening to their responses. And next is Peter Yukimura.
Peter Yukimura. Decoupling is a mechanism whereby the utility can adjust its rates on a, without going through a full-blown rate hearing. What it does is it guarantees the co-op or the utilities a way to recover their costs by recover the cost at a certain ratio. So what it does is it makes us able to adjust our rates up or down on a more timely basis, maybe per quarter or half a year. So it will
we don't have to go to a rate case, a full-blown rate case with the PUC. The last one in 2009 cost us $2 million and took about a year to finalize, and for a 1.9% increase. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Peter. Phil Takbian responds next.
Yeah, decoupling is a wonderful thing because it provides a great benefit to the members, as they can receive the benefits of a lower rates right away rather than wait for full-blown rate hearing with the Public Utilities Commission. And I do support it, and I will continue to support it. Thank you.
David Iha.
During the past 2 years, I chaired the Strategic Planning Committee of the board, and during that process, we took a look at decoupling. In fact, we had a draft of our strategic plan and with a specific issue of decoupling, which we took out to the community to receive feedback on this issue. And the decoupling really does is right now we have a system where an additional amount is added to the fuel charge, so that's an incentive for the co-op to, you know, generate as much power, and then you get more margins. Well, decoupling eliminates that surcharge added to the fuel bill, and we will just pass on the actual fuel cost to the customer. So I support decoupling. Along with the rates, though, we also need to remind ourselves that residential rates or revenues just account for one-third of our revenues. The major players are the big power consumers on this island, and we need to be fair to them as well.
Thank you. All right, a feel-good question. What can you applaud the past KIUC board members for accomplishing? And the sequence of responders will be Jimmy Trujillo, Adam Asquith, DQ Jackson, Neil Shantara, Daniel Erickson.
This one's pretty easy for me. I really appreciate that in the ballot, this special election, there wasn't propaganda or any type of trying to sway the vote to deliberately influence the outcome of the election. There might be some critique or criticism of the wording of the ballot, but it certainly was an improvement on the FERC voting, where the board of directors or management, I'm not sure who, put in the ballot that we received information saying, hey, vote for this because we think you should. I think that's one of the real reasons I'm here running, is to try to change that. I don't think that we as a co-op that has elections every year and have special elections should be influencing the outcome of our elections. They should be fair and unbiased. Thank you.
So Adam Asquith will respond next.
Thank you. This is Adam Asquith. I would applaud past and current board members for actively pursuing and engaging renewable energy in our portfolio. Clearly, they listened to the members and have done much to advance that request. That said, anybody can assume the moral high ground and ride a bicycle down the road to conserve energy, but if you run me over in the crosswalk, you haven't benefited me. So, thank you.
DQ Jackson next.
You know, I remember when KIUC came into being, and as I remember the meetings at that time, everybody was talking about renewable, and rates down. What I'm looking at now, here we are with a strategic plan of 40% renewable by 24. Holy cow. This is a stunning accomplishment on the part of KIUC. Absolutely stunning. And I look, it's not just the board. The board comes up with this idea, gives the marching orders to the CEO. Look at the reliability of our energy here as compared to the other places in the states. And look at how they've implemented that plan. I think management has done a stunning job.
It is Neil Shantara.
Neil Shantara. I am impressed with our CEO at the board's direction, having an excellent safety record for RKIUC employees. And now I would like to see the same consideration given to the members at large. There is no doubt that people are suffering from smart meters. If you look at healthy blood cells, the first two slides are healthy blood cells of people that feel no effects from electromagnetic pulse microwave radiation, and the third slide is a sensitive individual. And in this one, you see the same three people, the blood cells of the people that feel no effects have deteriorated, and the person number three person could not take the exposure to the smart meter after 45 seconds, whereas the other two were 2 minutes. So it is time that we recognize everybody's health is important.
Thank you, Neil. And this is our the next responder to this question is Daniel Erickson.
Yeah, I think obviously we got to commend how they've been implementing the solar. I mean, we have two or three big projects with more in the pipe, and that's excellent. And then also, they didn't just go there. They started to upgrade the grid. With the meter, without the meter, the smart grid is going to increase our efficiency and benefit everybody here for a long time to come. So as long as we keep making the whole system better and more, I don't know, environmentally friendly, I think is an important thing out here. We have the power here, since we're not a for-profit, to choose what kind of energy we have, essentially. If you want more expensive energy, but it also has a lot of environmental effects, it's kind of our choice. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you, candidates. We're approaching the 4 o'clock hour with 10 minutes to go, and I did want to give candidates at least 1 minute for closing statements, so that'll bring us to 4 o'clock. I want to thank the audience for all your questions, but then at the same time apologize because we had such limited time. We couldn't get to them, to the majority of them. All right, so alphabetically, we'll start with Adam. And again, closing statement, anything you'd like to address?
Thank you. This is Adam Asquith. I guess I would like to address, both as a candidate and if elected as a board member, to challenge the atmosphere of obedience at all cost among the board. It is all our board members in the history of KIUC have all been indoctrinated into this belief that this is the only way to run a board nonprofit. That is an interpretation. There is latitude among the laws that guide board of directors. I would follow the example, again, of Jose Cabranes, who's a federal judge, also sits on the board of Columbia University, has publicly dissented when he felt that the future of their institution that he had fiduciary duty to was in jeopardy. And I quote, "Any policy or action that threatens the vitality and strength of the institution is a legitimate concern of the board. And if a board member believes that the board or staff or members have not been equally and timely informed about that development, that the board member should sound the alarm publicly." And I'll follow in those
Thank
footsteps.
Thank you. Time is up.
Again, I'm Stu Burley, and vote for me. Okay. I mean, we're all thinking that, I'm sure. Well, some of the background, I've had a lot of experience. In fact, just this past May, I went to another school for risk management. I've had six schools in that direction. I've got 3 degrees, a manager of every operation improvement at PMRF, so I have a lot of experience in working with not only people, community, but also bringing to fruition projects that will benefit the entire island. Well, now, getting on in my senior years, it's time for me to give back to the island of Kauai and start to look out for my neighbors, my friends, and all you people here. I appreciate you showing up. I love you guys for even being here on an afternoon and fighting the traffic to get here. Again, I'm Stu Burley, and I'm running for the board of directors of KIUC. Thank you very much.
Neil Shantara. It is up to the board to give direction to our CEO, and we need to include people and the environment in our plan. A number of years ago, our island utility company ignored the Shearwaters, even though a group of people were speaking out, and the federal government turned around and sued the utility, and it cost millions of dollars. Can you imagine what is going to happen as more people come forth with their medical problems documented by their doctors, and they go to KIUC and say, your smart meters have affected my health, and made it on so that I could not go to work or I could not participate in community events. I think it's time that we admit we made a mistake. It's okay. We all make mistakes. Let's admit it and go on. So don't vote for me. Vote for Adam, Jimmy, and Jonathan. Thank you.
Daniel Erickson, I guess why am I here? It's not really a big financial benefit to be on the board. I'm pretty young. But when I went back to go to school, I thought that Kauai really has a unique opportunity with all of the resources available and how isolated we are to be like a global example for how to become your own sustainable energy system. And I went to school for that, and then when I came back and I noticed that we had a co-op here, I thought that I could be an asset to the team or to the board of directors by having, and I know they say we got to keep the engineering knowledge and different things out of it because that's not the board of directors' duty, but I would just like to be part of helping the utility co-op implement the right structures so that we can maintain and utilize renewable energy to the maximum, because I think that 100%, it sounds really outrageous and no one else is doing that, but if anyone can do it, it's us, because we have the most expensive energy, so that makes what we produce worth more.
Thank you, Daniel.
I'm David Iha. I'm incumbent board member. I've been on the board for 7 years. When KIUC celebrated its 10th anniversary last year, we had zero equity, and during that time, our equity has risen to 26%. I think we have demonstrated our fiduciary responsibility in having a financially stable organization. As far as the director, I think I'll operate on the values that my non-speaking parents spoke about: respect, obedience, and loyalty. Respect about, because we are governed by so many laws that we need to respect. And if we don't agree with them, then we work to change them. Obedience, because we need to comply with all these environmental health issues. So we are, you know, we're going to obey those issues that are set forth by those that govern us. And loyalty, we have a fiduciary responsibility of being loyal to KIUC to protect its our physical assets, not for us, but for our next generation. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm DQ Jackson. Thanks to everybody for making this opportunity for us to present our ideas here. You know, first-time candidates seldom win. For me, this is an incredible educational opportunity, so I thank those people who've been supplying me with information from board members and county people and so forth. What I've learned so far is that we're making great progress on renewables. I look to efficiency now to make further great progress. I think that's the area that can happen. And I would encourage the board to increase the programs that are upgrading. For instance, you know, you get your light bulbs, and we don't call them light bulbs anymore and stuff like this, but it improves the efficiency for my business and for my home. My goodness, the effect that it had on me. My business went from $1,200 a month to $300 a month. Thank you for those programs, but they need to be expanded.
KKCR Hale, KAQA Kiloa.
We're blessed here on Kauai.
This is Jonathan Jay.
This is Jonathan Jay. We are blessed here in Kauai. We have a beautiful island with tremendous natural resources, and one of those is the community that wants to be engaged in the process. So I thank you guys all for coming today. And the other, blessing that we have is that KIUC is a cooperative. That means that we get to participate in it. We get to have a say. We get to participate in the strategic direction that the co-op goes in. And we're also fortunate that we have such a skilled leadership team at KIUC, because when they're given the proper direction, they have shown that it can deliver results. So I want to share with you this quote here from Dennis Chun that he wrote while voyaging on the Hokulea, the seagoing vessel. And I think it applies to us here as an island community. We are a community dependent upon each other, and more importantly, responsible for each other. So if we can build a better co-op that respects and protects minority rights, informs and empowers membership, and cooperates and is accountable to the community, then we will have a great success. And that's what I look forward to in the future for KIUC.
Okay, I'm Chuck Lasker again. I'll start by saying you can learn a lot more about me and my views at chucklasker.com. Right now it just says coming soon because I'm changing it around so I can put as much as I can up there and you can learn more about me. I figure Monday morning it should be live. It's been an interesting experience here. One of the things that I would like to bring to the board, I commit to do if you vote for me and I get in, is to have discussions like this. After our orientation on Monday, Jimmy, Jonathan, and I stood in the parking lot and talked for, 20 minutes, half hour or something. And I think that's what really helps with a co-op, is to have that kind of conversation and to really look at all the different viewpoints that are out there. And I don't have a problem with any of the incumbents. I think they've done a great job. Two of them have been on for 9 years. They helped found this organization and getting it to where it is. I just feel like a healthy co-op has some turnaround for new, fresh perspectives and new ideas. Thank you,
Chuck.
Yes, I'm Phil Takbian, and after over 50 years of public service to our community here on Kauai, nine of which was with KIUC, I want to continue to see that what we started to do and all of the projects that's on the table in the area of renewables, I want to see it through its successful completion. I know some of what we have in store, it will not benefit my generation because of our age, but it'll benefit my children's generation, my grandchildren's generation, and our great-grandchildren's generation. They will derive the benefits from what we're doing today. And as I was told by a great man in Alaska, he said 30 years ago, over in 1930, the smart man decided to build the hydros, and there they were, that day, paying 9 cents a kilowatt hour because of the smart people in previously and what they did. And this is what I hope my legacy will be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm Jimmy Trujillo, and I want to thank you all for being here. Like Stu said, on a beautiful Kauai Saturday afternoon, you're in an inside building listening to a bunch of talking heads share their ideas and their thoughts in regards to how we will move our co-op forward. Thank you, Rain and Sid, and the members of the Kapaa Wailua Neighborhood Association for all the work in regards to engaging our community, bringing in speakers, and making space available. Also to you members of Apollo Kauai for the years of trying to advance this idea that we can move away from fossil fuels. It's what we have to do. And I'm thrilled that our utility co-op is doing that. I would just like to see our cooperative become more cooperative. I would like to help build a better co-op, one that is working for you as co-op members, one that is going to help us understand these issues and make that transition and change our behaviors in regards to having a future for our children that is sustainable. And I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Peter Yukimura. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think you really should vote for me. The most important thing is I know how to be a director. I know how not to micromanage our CEO. I'm a CEO. If I had 9 bosses, I'd go nuts, and that's why we need to have a good board. I don't let emotions control my decisions, only the facts. I understand that I have only one vote, And if I get outvoted, I go along with the decisions of the majority. I don't disclose confidential information. My only agenda of being on the board is to ensure that KIUC is financially stable, a safe place to work, and helps to improve the quality of life for our members. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. So my name is Rain Regish, and I've been your moderator. Yeah. And I have some closing statements. Just a reminder, KIUC election packets will be mailed to members on February 10th, and ballots must be returned by March 8th. Members have three ways to vote, by phone, online, you must use your access code from the ballot, or a paper ballot, which can be mailed or dropped off in the ballot locked box in the KIUC office lobby. We will have this room until about 4:30 if candidates would like to stay and engage. And please enjoy the refreshments in the back. And thank you, everyone, for attending. Let's give a hand to the candidates.